This is Grave Confessions from the Grave Talks. Daily, raw, real, and disturbing accounts of the living interacting with the dead. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal, supernatural, or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813. Now, today's grave confession.
My name is Leah. I'm originally from Charleston, South Carolina. I'm married into the military now, so we're kind of all over the country. And because of that, we travel a lot, and we absolutely love listening to your show. It gets us back and forth across the country all the time, so we really enjoy it. I've been wanting to call in or write in for a really long time now, but I'm always just kind of scared to touch on this subject just because I feel a little bit overly sensitive to these kinds of things. And anytime I listen to podcasts too much or watch too many shows or movies, I always seem to start waking up at about 3 a.m. every night. You know, just waking up and not out of a nightmare or anything, but I just wake up and, you know, it's a very strange time to wake up every night. So, but I'm actually on my way back up to Virginia where we're stationed right now, and I was listening to your podcast and I thought, what the hell, I'll just go ahead and call it. It's kind of a long story. I'm going to say it as quickly as I can. I am a little background. I'm a nurse, and I started my nursing career down in Charleston, South Carolina in a hospital. And one of the floors that I worked on was on the oncology unit. And so, you know, we were taking care of very, very, very sick patients. But I really learned what it is to be a nurse there. And one of the experiences I had, I can't give too much information, but a little quick background. He was an Oriental man who had a very advanced stage, quick moving cancer. You know, once you're diagnosed, you don't last much longer afterwards. So we were caring for him for a while, and it worked its way through his body so quickly. By the end, he was, you know, maybe 90 pounds soaking wet, so extremely thin. But he had so much support from his wife and his son. Neither the patient nor his wife could speak any English, but their son was there and was able to translate for us. So whenever he wasn't there, I actually really enjoyed working with this patient because I kind of was able to take my time and be patient with him, even though I did not speak his language whatsoever. So he just took a lot of extra time and effort. So I got to know him and his son really well, and I just absolutely loved them. And, you know, sometimes in healthcare, you can just tell, you know, that it's coming down to it, that, you know, they're not going to live much longer. Well, I ended up having to go on vacation, and in my head, I was like, man, I'm gonna miss it. I'm not going to be able to be there for when he passes for that family and stuff, but, you know, maybe it's a better thing that I'll be gone because it would be really hard on me. So I left for vacation. A few weeks go by. I come back, and he's still there. And my coworkers jokingly said, oh, he's been waiting for you to come back. And so I kind of pick up caring for him again. And this is the first night that I come back to work. I forgot to tell you, I work night shift. So I'm working with two other nurses. It's about, I would say, like between 2 and 3 in the morning. You know, everybody's settled down and we're starting our charting. The lights on the unit are off. You know, it's quiet time so patients can sleep. Well, we're sitting there, and the emergency call bell goes off, and I go running past the call system, and I look at what room it is, and I'm like, there's nobody in this room. And we took off running down the hallway, and my two coworkers are in front of me. One runs in the room first. The other makes it partway into the room. I hit that doorway, and I was like, I am not going in this room. Again, there was no patient in there. And whenever there's not a patient in the room, we always have the lights off, the doors are open, but every light is off in the room. When we hit this room, every single light was on. we couldn't figure out which call bell was going off, and I really couldn't enter the room. And I was like, guys, we need to get out of here. So I had that worker sees that in the bathroom, the cord for the call bell had been pulled all the way down, which that, you know, it's not exactly, it doesn't take a strong arm to do it, but it does take some force to pull it down. You have to click it all the way into place when you reset it. So she ended up doing that. We turned off all the lights and we exited the room. And keep in mind, the room that was empty was right next to the man's room that I was telling you about earlier. So all of us honestly are so freaked out and just uneasy. So uneasy, we called our nursing supervisor, let her know what happened, and we were just like, this isn't right. So we go back, we sit down, we start charting again, and then the call bell to the room of the Oriental man I was telling you about earlier was going off. And I mean, he, at this point, he was so out of it. He was so weak. I was like, how the heck is his call bell going off? You know, his family wasn't there. He's so weak. There's no way he would really press it. So I go down there and I check on him. And I'm getting to the room. I can see him. He is shot up out of bed, sitting straight up, which this man was so weak, he could barely even feed himself. I mean, he was pulling his gown off. He was pulling out his IV. He looked totally freaked out. And this was minutes after, you know, like what had happened with the emergency call bell. But he looked totally paranoid, freaked out, like something was totally wrong. But I couldn't understand what he was saying because he didn't speak English. Well, so I run over to him and I crouch down next to the bed and I'm just trying to calm him down by like, you know, holding his arms, holding his hands. And he kind of grabs my hands and looks me in the eye. Man, I never heard speak English before. And then he points around the room and he goes, I see. And I see them. I know. And myself stopped and I was like chills down my spine, and I immediately just felt, I was like, we're not alone in here. I didn't say it out loud, but I looked around the room and I didn't see anybody, but you could feel it. We weren't alone. And so I calmed him down as best I could and I got him settled, and then I sat in his room with him for about 45 minutes, and I just told my coworkers, hey, can y'all watch my other patients? He needs somebody to be with him right now. So I just sat with him, calmed him down, and eventually, you know, he went back to sleep. After that, I went out of the room and just continued the night, and I just remember thinking, what was that? Well, so come to find out a little while later, I talked to the family and stuff, and we kind of found out their religion. And apparently, and this was after he passed, he ended up passing, I think, either the next day or two. And speaking with the family and stuff, we somehow found out their religion, because we needed to know about the services and stuff and kind of what to do with his body and how to help preserve him and stuff. So, the family told me the religion, and then I was interested and I looked it up, and apparently in this religion, when a family member is passing, ancestors from that family come to that person and kind of are with them while they're passing, apparently. That's according to this religion. And so in my head, that had to have been what he was seeing in that room that night, and me having that feeling like we weren't alone. And then everything that happened with the emergency call bell beforehand, I mean, in my head, I think of it as maybe they were trying to get our attention somehow to get down there and be with him, or I'm not sure exactly, but I would absolutely love y'all's input, hear what y'all think it might have been. It is still something that, you know, it doesn't necessarily scare me, but it was one of the most intense moments of my life, and I honestly do believe in spirits and things of that nature. I'm a Catholic, so I believe in a whole lot of that stuff. But I'd really love your input, and I hope y'all are having a great day, and y'all take care and look forward to hopefully hearing this on the radio.
This has been a Grave Confession
from the Grave Talks. To share your grave confession experience with the paranormal or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813.